from the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Tuesday, August 27th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things officially started with
the Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, failure is no more fatal than success is permanent. Good one. Hey, failure is opportunity in disguise.
Hurry it up. We're burning daylight.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted history.
Uh-huh.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Got my attention.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Oh, boy.
Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
See, there you go. That's ever going to happen. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1927. Five Canadian women filed a petition to the Supreme Court of Canada asking, does the word persons in Section 24 of the British North America Act of 1867 include female persons? They're still waiting for an answer. And it was on this day in 1958 the USSR launched Sputnik 3 with two dogs aboard. Both dogs died during the mission. Where's PETA when you really need him?
Oh, no, 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 no.
For years, I heard people like Glenn Beck and Tucker Carlson warning us all that they, you know, that ubiquitous they, are coming after us and our free speech rights. They're coming to take our guns. In other words, they're coming to take our basic human rights. And, you know, this term they was kind of nebulous. Well, it's not so nebulous anymore. I think it's becoming more and more clear. And all we need to do is pay attention and be ready, be on the standby to react. And I say this now because a fellow by the name of Pavel Durov, he's a billionaire founder and CEO of the messaging platform Telegram. It's an app. I don't know how many people here in the States have that app on their phones. I'm sure there are several. Well, he was arrested at Bourget Airport outside Paris Saturday evening. Now, this is according to a story published in Reuters, and TF1 TV and BFM TV both carried the story over there in Europe, in the EU, the European Union. And these two outlets, TF1 and BFM, cited unnamed sources. I hate using unnamed sources, but sometimes that's all the media's got. Now, Durov was traveling aboard his private jet, according to TF1. And this is a story that was published on TF1's website, adding that he'd been targeted by an arrest warrant in France as part of a preliminary police investigation. Now, I'll tell you what the beef is about here in a minute, but TF1 and BFM both said the investigation was focused on a lack of moderators on Telegram, and that police considered that this situation allowed criminal activity to go on undeterred on the messaging app. Yeah, you know, this is an app that's not at all unlike X, formerly known as Twitter. Telegram didn't immediately respond to a Reuters request for comment, they say. French Interior Ministry and police had no comment, of course. TF1 said Durov had been traveling from Azerbaijan and was arrested at around, what is that? 20, so that'd be 10 p.m. local time. Now, Telegram is based in Dubai. And it was founded by Russian-born Durov, who left Russia in 2014 after he refused to comply with demands to shut down opposition communities on his VK social media platform, which he sold. Now, Durov, who's estimated by Forbes to have a fortune of $15.5 billion, said some governments had sought to pressure him, but the app which has now 900 million active users, should remain a neutral platform and not a player in geopolitics. And this is what these governments are trying to do. They're trying to really seize some form of phantom control over these social media platforms. I mean, the Biden administration tried to do it with Twitter, and they were succeeding. I mean, the Twitter file should be evidence enough on how far even our government, the U.S. government, is willing to go to control you and me. Now, Silicon Valley tycoon David Sacks predicted Telegram would be hit next after they went after TikTok. So it looks like he was right. I don't recall how long ago that prediction was made by Sacks, but I remember that. And because he had tweeted, one down, three to go. And he had, number one was TikTok with a line through it, Telegram, X, Rumble. And, they're not done going after X. But Elon Musk is a very principled individual. And they're going to have a very frustrating time trying to get to him. They will continue to try to get to him because you have attorneys on these staffs, government staffs, who are well-trained at finding, you know, we keep talking about loopholes in the law. Well, they find loopholes, loopholes that benefit them when it comes to going after somebody. Let's call it what it is, this going after. Persecution. They are trying to persecute people who are champions of freedom. And it's not just happening here in the U.S. It's happening in the EU. In fact, the EU even wants to go after U.S. citizens. You mark my words, eventually the EU is going to go after Elon Musk. They're going to try. You know, they're going to try to already I don't think it's the prime minister in the U.K. But one of the high mucky mucks there in the U.K. Oh, yeah, it was the police chief, London police chief there in the U.K. I forgot his name. But he wants to go after a couple of key individuals here in the United States for criticizing the EU and criticizing things like wokeism. And it's just and high rates of illegal immigration. Yeah, this London police chief wants to go after our people. Well, that's just not going to happen. They may try it, but it's not going to happen. Because I think in these culture wars, there at some point, someone will have pushed too far. And it may even happen within the United States, but I think it's more than likely it's going to happen across the pond. Somebody over there is going to push a little bit too hard, and all hell is going to break loose in the culture wars. So, anyhow, something that I wanted to let you know, too, about this guy, Durov. The FBI tried to secretly infiltrate Telegram in order to give themselves a backdoor access to users' private data. And during Durov's last visit to the States, he brought along an engineer, and the FBI secretly tried to hire his engineer out from under him with the idea in mind of getting that back door to the client list at Telegram. So, yes, our FBI. So if you don't think that our own country is going after us and our free speech rights, oh, believe me, they are. So the FBI was trying to learn which open source libraries were integrated to the Telegram app on the client side. Now, the FBI tried to convince the engineer to use specific open source tools that would then be integrated into Telegram's code. So basically, a long story short, in a nutshell, the FBI was trying to create backdoors to spy on people who use Telegram. Now, if you follow Tucker Carlson, he has already interviewed this guy, Durov, Pavel Durov, and very interesting program. I don't recall how long that thing ran. Tucker Carlson, he can interview a person for 2 hours, and it's amazing how interesting Tucker makes the material all sound. But anyhow, with his arrest in France, I think, I don't know, this may be the shot heard around the world when it comes to government suppression of basic human rights. The Disney Star Wars sequel to Star Wars sequel, Star Wars sequel. I don't know how many sequels were down into this thing. I mean, the first Star Wars film was what, 1976, 77? Anyhow, The Acolyte, after just one season, has been canceled. And it's a move that has reignited God knows how many debates over the entertainment giant's pivot to woke content. One would think that after all the backlash against just Disney alone, this question of wokeism at Disney would be over and done with by now, but it's not. Well, at least not yet. Now, the show, which was expected to introduce a new era of diversity in the Star Wars universe, was met with just downright lackluster viewership and criticism, outright criticism, leading Disney to rethink its strategy because of declining box office and streaming numbers. The streaming is just not happening. And people, when they go to these multi-cinemas, they opt for other stuff that's on the screens there, stuff other than Disney material. Now, I'm not condemning all Disney material. There's some stuff that's really good, but there's still, in just about every production that they churn out of that sewer pipe out of Hollywood, they still try to integrate, clandestinely integrate the wokeism, all right? Now, the deal with The Acolyte was that they sought to explore the darker side of the Force. And it was notable for its inclusion of a non-binary character and a storyline centered around LGBTQ themes, which, of course, was a first for the Star Wars franchise. And the series was launched on Disney Plus with a lot of brouhaha and fanfare. It was earlier this year when it launched, but didn't take long for it to fail to resonate with the broader Star Wars fan base. Those people have become increasingly vocal about what they perceive as the politicization of their beloved galaxy. Now, let's look at the average Star Wars geek. They're not all high forehead, horn-rim glasses geeks, but the majority of them are. And do you think that they want to get into all of this wokest stuff? Of course not. So Disney's decision to cancel the series came on the heels of other high-profile failures like Lightyear. You remember that? That went nowhere. And Strange World, both of which also embraced progressive themes. But in the end, they flopped at the box office. I mean, nothing speaks louder than the consumer dollar. Now, the financial underperformance of these projects has, of course, sparked concerns among Disney executives about the viability of this kind of content, although they're awfully slow to catch on. Disney's been pushing wokeism for, what, 4 or 5 years now, maybe more? And they still just don't seem to get it. I mean, just in recent weeks, Harley Davidson up there in Milwaukee, what was it, a week ago yesterday, announced that they were backing off of their wokeism campaign. Jack Daniels recently announced the same thing, getting away from that. I mean, if you expect to do solid business with our solid consumer base in this country, you got to get away from that wokest crap, because that wokest crap only represents about 1% of our total population. 1% of our population follows that stuff. And that is just not enough. Now, reports from inside Disney, and this is where it gets interesting, reports from inside Disney suggest that The Acolyte was intended to spearhead a new wave of inclusive storytelling within the Star Wars franchise, you know, with the hopes of drawing in younger, more progressive audiences. I mean, they're just working under this assumption that younger, progressive audiences are naturally into this stuff. But the series never really found its footing, with a lot of longtime Star Wars fans criticizing the show for straying too far from the core elements that have made the franchise a cultural phenomenon since 76, 77, somewhere in that area. Now, critics have pointed to Disney's broader strategy of infusing established franchises with woke narratives, and we've seen this done time and time again, and we're getting tired of this stuff. You know, the failure of The Acolyte has only added to the chorus of millions of voices accusing Disney of alienating its core audience in favor of chasing a progressive agenda. And this criticism hasn't been limited to just the Star Wars franchise. It's been a recurring theme across most of Disney's recent projects. You know, here again, I want to offer this as kind of an analogy why the resistance to wokeism or transgenderism or LGBTQ+. Well, it's the same thing as if I were running up and down the streets carrying flags and holding obscene parades, bragging about the fact that I'm heterosexual. I'm hetero. I'm hetero. Look at me. I'm hetero. I like women. And then carrying a flag with the Playboy bunny logo on it. You know, so what difference does your sexual preference make in the overall scheme of life? That's something that should be kept private. Why do you think they call that part of your body your privates? I mean, this is just, it's gone beyond the point of being insane, really. And this cancellation of The Acolyte, I think, is evidence that you have this very small segment of the total population pulling the strings, pushing the buttons. How did they manage to get such a great, loud voice? And again, like I said the other day, it's the squeaky wheel that gets the grease. And these are very squeaky people. So whether they want it or not, Disney's facing some pretty big challenges trying to balance their legacy with the demands of a changing entertainment landscape. Now, it's the entertainment landscape that's changing, not the people who buy the entertainment. Buy the movie tickets, pay for the subscriptions to streaming television, and that 1% that's really, really into this LGBTQ stuff is not large enough. Hey, well, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's just say it's 5%. It's not. But let's just say it's 5% of the population. That's still not big enough for entire corporations to change their line of thinking, to change the focus of their marketing target. So while Disney's found success with more traditional content, like they have, for instance, The Mandalorian, look at that, it's big. And the revival of some of their classic animated features, Disney's attempting to pivot toward more woke narratives still. And it's like, you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, and you expect a different outcome? And what I want to know is, what is it within the Disney hierarchy, the executive suite, that compels them to be so focused on something that's never going to gain traction? I mean, this is hurting Disney in the pocketbook. They've been struggling to regain their footing following the disruptions caused by the pandemic, of course. The company's streaming service, Disney Plus, you see the ads everywhere, was once heralded as the future of entertainment, and it's not doing well. The subscriber growth has stalled. It's plateaued. And the stock price has taken a pretty big hit. Investors are growing pretty wary of Disney's direction. And yet they continue. And in response to the failure of The Acolyte, the other similar ventures, are indications that Disney may be rethinking its approach to content creation. I mean, gee whiz, if they haven't, they really need to go through that executive suite and fire everybody. The company's reportedly, though, begun to pull back on projects that heavily emphasize social justice themes, because I think finally they're waking up to the fact that the need to appeal to a broader, more diverse audience is going to be the direction they have to go if they hope to recover their financial losses. And make no mistake about this, Disney's financial losses have been considerable. It's official. The Secret Service has ended its protection of RFK Jr. I don't know if they've entirely suspended it, but I would imagine by now it's already over with. And because he suspended his presidential campaign in swing states, he's endorsed Trump. But that's not why they suspended the protection. That's just the way it's done. You look at Tulsi Gabbard. She used to be a presidential candidate. Nobody's watching her anymore. She's on her own. And this is just the way it's done. Although, you know, the conservative media seems to be making a big deal out of this. And it's really not a big deal at all. This is just the way things are done. Now, yeah, there's still that ghost of July 13th hanging over us. You know, the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. But Biden instructed the Secret Service to provide security for Kennedy. And Kennedy requested Secret Service protection on a number of occasions, citing multiple security concerns. See, at first, even though Kennedy was a qualified presidential candidate, in a primary mode, Secret Service protection wasn't afforded him. For some reason, they just didn't give him Secret Service protection because I guess they didn't take him seriously as a presidential candidate. And then the Biden administration said, no, you got to cover him. So they did. Now, that's over with now. And at one point, RFK Jr.'s team claimed to have received evidence of 34 credible instances of threats against him, according to a report from Newsweek magazine. And, you know, the Kennedy family, Lord knows, has its history of assassinations. But just a little over a month after the Secret Service detail was granted, it's over. They're not doing it anymore. Now, they typically provide protection. This is how it's done. They provide protection for the president, vice president, first lady, their immediate family members, former presidents, visiting heads of state, children of former presidents until the age of 16, former first ladies, and top presidential candidates. See, there's the key word right there, top presidential candidates. Now, protections generally scaled back significantly, if not eliminated entirely, when candidates drop out of the race. So now that we've cleared that up, I mean, what little storm erupted after this should abate pretty soon. Now, let's get into technicalities. Kennedy is still a presidential candidate because he announced his intention to remain on the ballot in less competitive states. So, should he get Secret Service protection? Personally, I think he should. Yeah. But I don't know. I'm not an expert on the Constitution. But this move comes as the Secret Service continues to find itself under the microscope these days in the wake of July 13th. And former director Kimberly Cheadle resigned roughly a week after the shooting. And because we still have, you know, the Secret Service, I think, is certainly not responsible for the death of firefighter Corey Comparatore. Or any of the wounded people there at that rally on July 13th. But, you know, they need to be wary of the heightened atmosphere, political atmosphere out there these days. So in the weeks following the attack, the Secret Service has been accused of poor communication. There's been plenty of evidence to that effect, audio evidence. And they're supposed to be keeping in touch with local law enforcement. They did not that day. in Butler, PA. So this has led to key security vulnerabilities, or at least investigations into those vulnerabilities. I'm sure they're trying to sew those up now. But several congressional and private investigations into the Secret Service and the attempt on Trump's life are ongoing. And I'm pretty sure that's going to continue until well past the election. I wanted to bring this up because I'm such a fan of Tim Allen. You know Tim Allen. Yeah, that Tim Allen of Home Improvement fame and Last Man Standing and the Santa Claus movie franchise, which, by the way, is Disney. And Tim has kind of proven himself to be very much conservative-leaning and also Christian-leaning. And he posted something over the weekend on Twitter. When was that? Was that, it doesn't have a date stamp on. Yes, it does. Okay, this was August 20th. So it was before the weekend. In fact, it was early last week. He said, never took the time in all my years to ever read and really read the Bible. Currently almost through the Jerusalem Bible, Old Testament, and almost done with the prophets. Next up to New Testament. So far, amazing and not at all what I was expecting. Isn't that cool? Now, he is probably the only A-list Hollywood celebrity that I know of. Now, is he still an A-lister? Yes, he's certainly an A-lister in the hearts and minds of viewers and consumers, people like you and me. Is he still considered to be an A-lister out there in Hollywood? I would imagine maybe still, yes. But since he's becoming more and more vocal about his Christian beliefs and his conservatism, I would imagine, I don't know, his status among the Hollywood elites might fade a little. But the thing is, the guy has brought that industry so much money over the years. I mean, Tim Allen is so talented and has proven to be a moneymaker for the television and movie industry that they'd be cutting off their nose to spite their face to try to demote him. They don't promote him, but they haven't done anything to try to discredit him in any way, shape, or form. But that's kind of cool. I mean, I just thought that was a very interesting tweet. Never took the time in all my years to ever read and really read the Bible. And so far, amazing and not at all what I was expecting. Stay tuned on this one. Johnny W. returns to the Comedy Corner for good reason.
I like to travel. That's my favorite thing about being a comedian. It's hard to stay fit on the road. I'm trying to lose weight, and you try to eat right, and it's fast food all the time. Chick-fil-A, my favorite. You guys have Chick-fil-A here. If you're going to have fast food, you got to do.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. They love the Lord. They're closed on Sunday. That's right. They love Jesus.
It is still fried chicken. You understand you will still get heart disease, right? Everybody okay? Everybody still good? Lord. They have breakfast there, and it freaked me out. They have chicken biscuits, fried chicken for breakfast. That is America right there. Take that, ISIS. But here's the thing. They had a menu item for breakfast that freaked me out, even as a carnivore. It was the chicken egg biscuit. Have you seen this? Chicken and egg together on a biscuit. Anybody else feel like that's a little bit brutal? It's like saying to the chicken, I will eat you and your unborn fetus. Get in here. I will wipe your family out and then I'm gonna go to work. I feel nothing inside. Nothing. That is an angry sandwich. That's all I'm saying. That is angry. You talk about killing two birds. That's too many jokes. I apologize. It was too many. It was one too many. But I think we're weird about food in this country anyway, because I'm with my church all the time, and we go on missions trips, you know, like to Haiti and places. We went to Southeast Asia with my church, and everybody was freaking out, because they eat dogs and cats there. And the whole team, yeah, they were like, why would they do this? What a bunch of savages. Because we don't fry up cute stuff here. We got rules. It's got to be a little funny looking. That's the rule. And the funnier looking an animal is, the more cruel we will be. We won't even think about it, you know? Like a lobster, boil it alive! Boil him! What are you, a Bond villain? Stop it. And I used to eat lobster all the time. I can't do it anymore. A buddy of mine made lobster for me at his house. You ever have that happen? He's like 5 feet from me in the kitchen. I hear the sound of the lobster going down into the pot. This whistling, screaming sound comes out. I was like, I'm out of here. I can't do it. He comes out all defensive. Johnny, settle down. First of all, that's not a scream, okay? That's just a physiological reaction. That's air escaping. Air is escaping. I was like, that's what a scream is. That's very convenient. No, they love it. It's like a jacuzzi. They love it. It's like seeing somebody get stabbed in the parking lot after the show and being like, he's just letting off excess blood. He's fine.
Make it a terrific Tuesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.